Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden has unveiled his budget plan. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has the story.
The president's budget includes a number of ideas that failed to advance when Democrats controlled both houses of Congress, including hundreds of billions of dollars for child and elder care and universal preschool. To pay for it all, Mr. Biden would raise the corporate tax rate, impose a new wealth tax on America's richest families, and increase rates on married couples earning over $450,000 a year. The budget allows the president to contrast his plans with Republicans.
They want to cut tax for the wealthy and large corporations.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy calls the Biden budget completely unserious. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley is proposing her own reforms to big budget federal programs.
I'm Steve Dorsey in Washington.
We need to fix it.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley told an Iowa crowd she'd support reforms to Social Security and Medicare.
So the first thing you do is you change the retirement age of the young people coming up, so that we can try and have some sort of system for them.
Haley says those benefits should also be limited for the rich.
Democrats are supporting raising taxes on the wealthy. The CEO of Norfolk Southern was on Capitol Hill today testifying about that train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio.
Alan Shaw apologized, saying he is deeply sorry.
We've been cooperating fully with the NTSB's investigation.
The CEO said so far there is no indication that those on board the train did anything wrong.
The preliminary report found that the Norfolk Southern crew was operating the train below the speed limit and in an approved manner.
But he said it's clear the safety mechanisms in place were not enough. He promised improvements.
I'm going to make sure they've got the right training and the right technology.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman with that report. Well wishes pouring in as Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell recovers at a Washington, D.C. hospital. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio.
A spokesperson for the Kentucky Republican says he tripped at a local hotel during a private dinner. He has been admitted to the hospital where he is receiving treatment.
The 81-year-old Republican leader suffered a concussion. A massive Russian missile barrage rained down on sections of Ukraine last night. CBS's MTS Taib is in the Ukrainian city of Dnipro.
The far west of the country, Lviv, which has largely been spared the kind of devastation we've seen in the east of the country. You see homes reduced to rubble. You see people having lost their lives lying in their beds.
NASA Administrator Bill Nelson with the agency's top priority.
NASA is laser focused on Mars.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
When you're rolling Charmin up to soft on the potty, let's just muscle roll it back, everybody. Charmin's irresistibly soft and hella nice. Our crib is always stocked. It's our potty.
Charmin Ultra Soft is irresistibly soft and more absorbent, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Hi, this is Drew Barrymore. Do you know what my idea of the perfect night is? First, make a bunch of complicated plans, and then cancel all those plans. Instead, spend the night streaming movies and TV shows on Pluto TV for free, including my show. There are tons of live channels and even more on demand. Free to stream all you want on Pluto TV and never pay a thing. Stream now, pay never. Pluto TV.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang.
They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until 4 a.m. early tomorrow morning. Cloudy today with snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 35. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, lows around 22. Chance of snow again tomorrow, 29. 4 to 8 inches of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
Today we're here with Suzanne White from The Caregiver Warrior and author of a new book called Self-Care for Caregivers. On her website, she states, I believe caregivers are warriors, fearless, courageous, and passionate about protecting those they care for. What a great title for your company. What a great title for your book. And it's clear you're going to have some really great insights to share with us today. So welcome, Suzanne. Could you introduce yourself a little bit and give us some perspective on your personal background as a caregiver?
I will indeed. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share my story and hopefully some insights that I have for everybody. I came to caregiving, like most of us, rather quickly. My World War II hero bombardier pilot dad had to be taken off an airplane because they were flying my parents down to Florida for the holidays. And he was so exhausted and so sick on the plane, they had to take him out in a wheelchair. Second time he was carried off a plane, in his life. So he had caregiver burnout. He was had walking pneumonia. He was starting to have some heart issues. And it was because my mom was showing signs of early dementia. And they had been working together as a team to hide it from us. As you know, sometimes they do. And I think he was trying to compensate so much that he just got really tired and sick. So, we all kind of got together and I said to my dad, you know, Pops, you need help. Can I help you? And he said, yes, really fast. Yes. I was like, okay. And there we were off and running. Being a perfectionist and a control freak, type A personality, I thought I had it all covered.
Easy to say, right?
Yes.
So that's your personal background.
Yes. And it appears that writing and speaking are your main avenues on how you support caregivers that you work with. Can you tell us about a little bit more what called you to do that work?
Yes, absolutely. And I kind of think, the universe sort of pushed me in a direction. I would often talk to caregivers because I did something really smart in the beginning, which I suggest everybody does. I got a tribe around me.
Okay.
A tribe of caregivers around me. I was lucky. I was blessed. I found a lot of caregivers that I could talk to, and I took advantage of that. And the thing everybody kept saying was, oh my God, they don't tell you this. Like, right. There's just so much they don't tell you. you know? So I thought, well, and I agreed because, like, I wasn't reading anything. Thank God I had them, you know? So I said, you know what? I'm gonna tell people about this, you know? And, you know, I've been a singer-songwriter. I wrote lyrics. I've dabbled in writing. And I just sort of kind of kept notes and kept a journal. And, you know, just before I knew it, I figured, you know, I'll do a blog. And, you know, just sort of built up. And the next thing I knew, I was doing it all the time. I was writing all the time. People were getting in touch with me. I came up with the name Caregiver Warrior, and we were just off and running.
That's great. Are you still caregiving for your parents?
I am not. I lost both of them.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
Within 7 weeks of each other. Thank you so much. Within seven weeks of each other. I mean, they had a bond.
Yeah, they did. Which explains.
Very interesting time.
Well, and it explains why your dad got so burnt out himself in caring for your mom, that there was such that, you know, interconnection of caregiving, but then burnout and then their own health. So it sounds like you were able to, though, put together some people to help you learn about this role that you kind of fell into, but then took over, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And just to share stories. I think we just held each other up. You know, I mean, I was in the beginning, I was doing a lot of commuting because I was in New York and they were in South Jersey. Where I grew up, and I'd be on the highway, you know, I'd work all week and I'd be on the highway, you know. So I had one friend, Diana, who had taken care of her dad with Alzheimer's. And we would just like, I would just like rant and rave, you mm-hmm. know, and I would just sort of, you know, I did this, and oh my God, yeah, I remember that, you know, and just sharing our stories was invaluable. I mean, I found that so, so invaluable. And I just wanted to do it, you know, for myself, for everyone else. And I, you know, it was a little weird in the beginning because I did not get along with my mom. So, and if anyone who knows me, like I'm pretty a straight shooter. I pretty much say what I mean what I say, and hopefully don't say it mean. And I was a little concerned with some of the content that I was writing, but I got over it, and I found out that people really related to my authenticity. You know, that I was making mistakes all the time, and that I was angry, and that I was frustrated, and that my mom is driving me crazy, and I had guilt, and, you know. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff I wanted to talk about, because that's what I needed to hear.
That's wonderful. And that's such an excellent point, and something that I kind of think about, too, and talk about not having any resources to prepare you for it, is the fact that I can't say that my mom and I have the best relationship. So I worry about when that day comes, you know, what is that going to look like? So that's probably a whole nother conversation and something we can do a whole nother another show on. But I like how you said you found your tribe. And I'm just curious, we probably didn't share, but Kristen and I have adult children with disabilities. So, you know, they were in therapies and groups since they were very little. So a lot of parents, you know, naturally came together and get to know each other. When you're dealing with in a situation where you're caring for an adult, how do you find that tribe?
You know, first of all, you have to be proactive about it. You know, you can't take no for an answer. You have to dig around. I personally was, because of my age, I think, and the age group of my parents, you know, a lot of my friends were just they were caregivers. I mean, we all sort of fell into it. So, you know, I think just opening up the conversation with people. I mean, but I would talk to people in the grocery store. Like, I would say, you know, like I was proactive. I was like, I'm taking care of my parents, you know. And they go, I am too, you know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, just really constantly putting myself out there. Like, you know, like dating, you know what I mean? You just got to keep kind of do it. And I also, my one friend had found the Alzheimer's Association really invaluable when she, in Poughkeepsie, she was taking care of her dad. And they were so good to her. I mean, she would call the one lady and just talk, you know, and they would hook her up with other people and other groups and whatever. So, you know, church groups, I mean, you know, you have to take care of yourself. So you need to find people that understand you.
I love that you're describing being authentic over the vegetable aisle, right? And so, I mean, that's what it takes is, yeah, looking at people and how are you? And well, I'm actually not doing that great. Yeah, I'm taking care of my mom and she's asked me 6 times today where the grapes are, right? And it's like, what can you do except connect with other people who can relate to that? So I'm more curious about digging into some of your aspects of writing before we have to go to our break because I'm not a writer and I really admire people that are writers. And you stated that you kind of fell into it because you've been a songwriter, but I'm curious about which aspects of writing do you enjoy the most?
just letting loose. You know what I mean? Just doing it. And I think that's the greatest gift. I mean, everyone, not everyone does it easily, but I'm really lucky because I do it easily. But there are times when I just write. I mean, sometimes it's not even great stuff. But I find once I get going, all kinds of stuff comes up that I didn't expect to write.
Okay.
And therein lies the joy about it.
I'm sure it's very therapeutic. Or can be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the intro came from your website that we read earlier. It's really interesting how you describe the caregiver as a warrior. And I love that. I actually got a ring that's engraved that says Fearless Warrior on it. So that's right up my alley. But what made you choose that description?
Well, my dad was a warrior, you know, he was in the service, you know, and I mean, just his loyalty and his commitment, and, you know, his intensity about it, and he did it from the heart. And I just thought, you know, that's what we do. We go to battle every day, you know, we battle the healthcare system, we battle doctors and nurses. You know, we're battling medical crises. We're battling the pharmacist. I mean, you know, it's a constant challenge, and you really have to lift your sword up. You know, I mean, the strength and the courage that caregivers have and come up with on a daily basis, I just think is very, very similar to fighting for freedom.
Oh, interesting parallel. I like that, fighting for freedom. So tell us a little bit more about your dad's background. You mentioned it quickly.
My dad was a... Yes, he was a bombardier pilot. He was a pilot and flew missions over Germany.
Oh, wow. Okay, so World War II.
Yeah. World War II, shot down, landed the plane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, amazing. He had scars from his ankles to his butt.
Oh, wow. From the plane crashing down.
And my mom took care. Yes, and my mom took care of him.
Oh. That's what I was going to ask. When he came back,
yes.
Did she have to take on that caregiver role?
She took on that role, and she actually said to me when she lost her first fiancé in a flying maneuver, World War II.
Wow.
So she said that they actually fell in love, my mom and dad, over the pain and grief of war.
Wow.
Give me the chills.
I know, me too. Well, and it just obviously makes sense why that's kind of permeating through your storyline and then becomes something that you want to help identify as your role and then for other caregivers as well. Interesting. And so with the caregiver warrior concept, can you speak just a little bit more about how the business came together? We've got about a minute here.
Well, my dad actually was in advertising, so he always told me to get a catchy name, you know?
Uh-huh.
So once I came up with Caregiver Warrior, I'm going to tell you, the universe kind of, you know, took it on. So there we were.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a short break here and come back and hear a little bit more about how the universe has directed you to us. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
You smell that? I hear that same thing every day. I'm Crust Buster Crockett, and I can tell you, I sure do smell that. That there's the sweet smell of cherry pie. That's the only thing you smell when Crockett septic pumper trucks come a-rolling down the road to pump your septic and holding tanks. Hoo-wee! They sure do a good job keeping your system clean, and Crockett Septic can also take care of your porta-potty rentals, too. Just give them a call, 715-712-3456. Tell them Crust Buster Crockett sent you.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whip. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their pumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Yeah!
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Let it slip, it cough, it check. Talk to doctor now and share.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Suzanne White from the Caregiver Warrior. Her mission is to share caregiving wisdom from someone who's been there, sharing approaches, actions, and attitudes that worked for her and she believes can work for you. Suzanne, before we dig into the meat of your suggestions, because it sounds like from your story you've got a lot to share, right? But I was wondering, when you are giving your messages, whether it's through your blog or your book or your speaking engagements, excuse me, somebody can't speak here. That's why I'm not doing the speaking engagements, right? But do you divide things as the approach, the action, and the attitude, or do you kind of put it all together in a more general sense when you're giving messages and suggestions?
I think it's a more general approach. However, my whole wheelhouse or my whole take on all of this is self-awareness. In other words, I think self-awareness for the caregiver is really important. In other words, I feel that we have to be very careful about what motivates us and what's going on with us. So any tips or tricks or strategies for me have to come from your mindset. Mm. And I think that caregivers need to be really, really careful about what they're going through when they're caring for others. And in my particular case, it was, it was for my family. I had family members, and especially with my mom, and I had her really clock what was happening with me, with the baggage and the history I had with her. So my whole take on how are you doing, caregiver, is what are you feeling, caregiver? Mm. And I think then the conversation can go from there. Because, quite often we don't think about what we're thinking about or feeling, even physically, or your shoulders, what's going on with us? It's not something we pay attention to.
That makes sense. And, self-care means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And then we always kind of roll our eyes with the whole bubble bath and go get a manicure and pedicure and that nice stuff. But it doesn't always
It doesn't take you the full mile.
Right. So when you're saying self-care, it's more about going inward in learning how to support yourself and discover yourself in your needs. Am I understanding that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, and you can have the other stuff at your disposal. In other words, my latest book, The Self-Care for Caregivers, has stuff in that about, when you're shopping for Pampers, like adult diapers, or Depends, make a stop at the bath body gel counter for yourself and throw that in the basket. But having said that, you need to know when you need to pull those tools out. In other words, if you're just plowing through and not paying attention to the fact that, you have a splitting headache, or you're nauseous, or, you're up here with your nervous system, you're going to hit the wall. So, I mean, we're all going to have caregiver burnout. It's just, stop the caregiver. No, we're all going to have burnout. Do you want to hit the wall at 20 miles an hour, or are you going to hit the wall at 150 miles an hour? Mm. That's what I want to discuss. And only if you're self-aware or you're aware of what you're going through, can you then say, whoa, you know, halt, you know, my hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you know, what do I need to do? Do I need to eat something? You know, do I need to like scream in the closet? Or you know, but be aware, like not, don't wait until it's too late. So yeah, my whole thing is like, really check out, you know, who you are and what's happening.
This is really resonating with me because I'm thinking about some of the times that in caregiving for Nicole. She's my daughter with special needs. She's 21 and has autism, epilepsy, and an intellectual disability. So the complexity turns medical, emotional, cognitive, all this stuff, right? And for a long time, I was running at 150 miles an hour. And I was like this and up. And I did crash into the wall. And it was bad. It was a bad panic attack. And that's so... I don't ever want to be there again. And so I'm so glad that you're describing it as, of course we're going to burn out. Of course we're going to break down, but let's do it at 20 miles per hour, which is where I think I am now with a lot of the work I've done, which has been around exactly what you're talking about. How do I tap into how I'm feeling so that when I do want to scream, I'm not screaming at Nicole while I'm also doing six other things and then just escalating her, right? I need to go step outside or, you know, wherever I need to go in a closet and just get that out. And I really, really appreciate that metaphor, that vision. I'm visualizing myself slamming into a wall at 150 miles an hour and now at 20 miles an hour. And I'm like, yeah, that is a little bit more comfortable. So I think I'm going to keep doing this self-awareness stuff.
So is self-awareness the...
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to say that what I find really interesting is I'm sure you're so aware of her triggers, right?
Yes.
I mean, right? You can... spot one of her triggers from like a mile away. I want us to pay attention to our triggers when we can also. Do you know what I mean? It's like I didn't know what my triggers were, you know, but I knew what my parents' triggers were. You know what I'm saying?
Excellent.
So,
yes.
I mean, I'm trying. Yeah.
That is an excellent point. I have a dog that's dog aggressive and she requires long walks. So I am always on the lookout in every direction. You know, where is there a dog? How is this going to go? And never aware of myself, you know, what's going on. And sometimes I will stop and I'm like, oh my gosh, I am panicking. I am stressed walking this dog. I need to dial it back a minute for myself because she can feel that too. But not that we're here to talk about dogs, but in getting the sense then, is that the underlining theme of your book, creating the self-awareness? Or can you tell us a little bit more about the book?
Absolutely. There's four areas of what I consider concerns for caregivers, you know, emotional, spiritual, soul, physical, and even the practical side. So I've come up with 140 tips in those four areas. And it's basically things that I used or that helped me become more aware of myself. And then perhaps when I was really right before I went knee deep into stress, you know, stressors that, you know, things that I could do to soothe myself, you know, everything from, you know, screaming, you know, mm-hmm. in the car, you know, I had a friend who would scream in the car when she was driving home, and that it's great. 'Cause you know, nobody hears you.
Exactly. You
know? Right, exactly. And, you know, just things that we can do to get us back in our bodies and our souls and to really pay attention to our emotions. You know, and again, we're back to triggers with what, no matter what being it is, we all have triggers, you know, and we all have triggers. Some of them are old triggers. Some of them are trauma triggers from... you know, childhood. So we need to figure out what those triggers are, be aware of them, and then, you know, do stuff to go, you know, navigate through them.
Right, exactly. Well, before we go to this break, I do want to encourage people to visit your website to read more about the book that's coming out and the ebook that you offer free. Your website is www.caregiverwarrior.com, and that's where they can also see some examples of your blog and what an amazing writer you are. We'll be right back after this short break to talk more with Suzanne from Caregiver Warrior.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
United Way of Southwood in Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 12th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 14th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30 p.m. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, online auction, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Aspirus Health, Connexus Cares, Ginzel Insurance Agency, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Prevail Bank, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit uwswac.org or call 715-425-425.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Parents make a lot of promises to their kids. We promise to be there every step of the way, especially on those wobbly first steps. We promise to always keep them safe. I mean, nothing's more important to us than that. And now, all kids 6 months and older can get a COVID vaccine. So we've got another way to keep that promise.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until 4 a.m. early tomorrow morning. Cloudy today with snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 35. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, lows around 22. Chance of snow again tomorrow, 29. 4 to 8 inches of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Liza, and I'm here with my co-host, Kristen, and we've been speaking with our guest, Suzanne White, who's been talking about her business Caregiver Warrior and her book that will be releasing soon. Can you tell listeners where they can find the book and when it comes out?
Yes, absolutely. It's Self-Care for Caregivers. It's going to come out September 6th. You can pre-order it from my website now. And I'm very excited about it. And you guys will find this a little bit interesting. They found me. They came to me to write this book, Adams Media. And they found me through Instagram.
Oh, wow.
They were reading my Instagram posts for Caregiver Warrior. And they felt that this is something that they would like to put in a book form. And it's been great. They've been wonderful. September 6th.
Who are they?
It's Adams Media, and they're a division of Simon & Schuster.
Oh, awesome.
Congratulations. Well, that's such a good sign of what a good writer you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. No one has asked me to write a book.
Exactly. None of my posts or comments or quick wit gets me approached
by
it.
Well, it's a really good format for me because it's short. You know,
sure.
It's like not a tweet. So, you know,
right.
But it's not like a blog,
right?
You know, which is 300 words. It's sort of like, yeah.
Well,
so
it's
perfect for me. I really love it.
As a former songwriter, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's like a chorus.
So in this next segment, we like to ask what we call more powerful questions. They're just questions that kind of push you to go inward and reflect on some of your personal experiences and thoughts. So I'm going to start out with my first one, which is I feel that gratitude is such a big part of self-care. What are you grateful for about this experience?
Well, I have a lot of gratitude about this experience. I always say it was the hardest and best thing I ever did. I healed my relationship with my mom. And when I tell you that we did not get along, I'm telling you we did not get along. I mean, we are both really similar. We're both very strong personalities, very big. I take after her so much. And we always had to have the last word. And, you know, it was bad. It was really bad. And as she and the last person in the universe she wanted taking care of her was me. She didn't want anybody taking care of her. She ruled the roost, you know what I mean? So not only did it heal my relationship, but it made me a better me because she wasn't going to change. I had to. So I finally got it. But I had to make some changes in the way I was acting and the way I was living my life.
Well, that's interesting. And it leads maybe into my question, which is about resentment, right? So a lot of times the caregiver has resentment for the person they're taking care of. And it sounds like you even came in with some resentment from the past. Excuse me. So how did you handle that resentment?
It wasn't pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't easy. And I had a lot of resentment. I had a lot of anger. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of work for me to look in the mirror, and really question why I was triggered, why I couldn't forgive, why I was so angry, why I was so scared. I mean, and it wasn't overnight. I mean, I had to really work at it on a daily basis. But I was able to see her. It was a specific time. I came around the corner and we had a big calendar, as I'm sure you guys know, a big calendar with the notes in it so everybody can read it and they know where everything is and the appointments. And here was my self-assured, controlling mother looking, you know, pointing to a date, and she just couldn't connect what it was. She couldn't understand what was written there.
Oh.
And the look on her face and the panic in her. It just, you know, it smacked me, you know, it just hit me so hard. And I said, you know, if this was a stranger, you would be so kind to this person. It's not a stranger, it's your mother. And that opened the door for empathy and compassion for her. And like I said, it wasn't overnight, but it just shifted things for me. And I was able to start to see her as a person and someone I loved. I love her. I loved her dearly. But it just, you know, it was time to let go of all the old crapola.
Yeah.
Like, what was that doing for me? You know, I mean, she didn't care. She was getting dementia. You know, I mean, it was, So I had a, you know, I was, I really looked deeply inside of myself and made some changes in my tone of voice. I made changes in what I said to her, how I said it to her, when I said it to her. Did I need to say it to her? I started some new behavior.
Wow. I'm curious, was that all just personal self-discovery? And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. Or did you have support or help along the way, you know, going through those emotions?
Right. And I will always answer and questions. I love questions like these. I'm sober 35 years.
Congratulations.
So I was way sober by that time. Thank you very much. And I'm very much into 12-step programs. And I have been doing work with therapy, and I had an amazing therapist at the time I was caring for my parents. I did everything I possibly could to pile on the self-work. And I have a degree in psychology. I have a BA in psychology. So I'm a big self-help, self-work, spiritual kind of person, and will take the help any way I could get it. And I needed it. You know, you need support, even if it's just somebody you trust to listen to you. It can be that simple. Somebody who will tell you what they really think. Somebody you trust, obviously. But, you know, you can always say, like, how am I doing? Do you see me doing anything?
But what's also resonating with me is that you truly, at that moment, embodied the messages from the 12-step programs, right? So having done some recovery work as an adult child of an alcoholic, I very much try to fall back on the serenity prayer, right? The courage to change the things I can. Help me out here.
God damn it, serenity.
Right, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The wisdom, exactly. That, I just got truth bumps. Mm-hmm. I call the goosebumps the truth bumps, right? That is where I've really, in my caregiver journey, had to spend a lot of time, is in that wisdom piece. And as I was listening to you describe, I saw the visual of your mom, you know, pointing to the calendar, and then you going from this angry, kind of resentful, compassionate place. And it's that whole, that wisdom of what you have control over and what you don't, right? And then knowing that you can't control her, you couldn't change her, but what you could change was the way you were receiving her and the way you were interacting with her. So Suzanne, I mean, that is a big like pat on the back for you that you really, I mean, it's hard to embody that prayer. It's hard to embody the 12 steps and actually put them into action. And so I really say kudos to you.
Yeah. And that kind of goes nicely into my next question is, you know, what are you currently taking the most pride in, either in terms of your caregiving journey or your business or even personal?
That's a wonderful, wonderful question. I'm really proud right now that I'm showing up. I'm on a completely different journey in my life now. There's a lot of big changes. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on for me. And I think showing up, I've made a decision to really show up no matter what. In other words, I think that there have been times in my life where self-centered fear has kept me from being my best self, and kind of had me hide maybe, or, you know, even with the best intentions. And I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm really proud of the fact that I'm just sort of showing up, you know, because, you know, this work that we do sometimes, because I really believe that anyone that is doing this work, this empowering caregivers in any way, shape, or form, is really so intentional. And I think that, but sometimes you just feel like you're doing it in a black hole, you know, like that you're not helping anyone, or, you know, because caregivers are silent. You know, it's a silent epidemic. They don't really tell you what they're thinking. And so there's times when I feel like, oh, God, why am I doing this? Because, you know, and then I'd show up anyway. And then I'll get like a tweet from someone who will say, you know, I just you don't know me. I just want to tell you, you know, my mom just died. And I just want you to know that if it weren't for you and your weapons of the day and your tweets, I would have never gotten through it.
Wow.
You know? And I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? And so I think it's the self-talk. I think it's how we treat ourselves. I think when I try to be as kind, you know, because I beat myself up all the time. I mean, I'm just as bad now as I was as a caregiver. I mean, you know, I was the most self-critical caregiver in the universe. And I think caregivers do that. So I think as I show up and try to be kind and compassionate to myself first, which is a daily struggle.
Exactly.
Then I think I can maybe help another person. And I think that's kind of what I'm most proud of.
Yeah. And
trying to do that.
It's amazing how much we can get in our own way, you know, and be our own worst enemy, and how doors just open when we do show up and be true to ourselves. So I admire everything you're doing in that aspect. And I'm sure that a lot of the stories that you write about in the blog have that underlining theme as well. And I'm just curious, what are some of your favorite blog posts that you've wrote?
You know, there's one that I did that, you know, about my mom, about how I had to forgive my, I'm not quite sure the title was anymore, but how I had to forgive my old mom, you know, to take care of my new one, you know.
That's beautiful.
That was hard. You know, that was a hard one because I, you know, there's still part of me that is, you know, doesn't want to not out her. I don't mean it like that, but I mean, but you know, that, you know, maybe I feel bad that I tell the story about how we didn't get along and how mean she could be. But I think it helps people. And I think, I'm just getting goosebumps because I know she's really, happy that I'm doing that, that I'm sharing that. I can feel that from them. It's when I write authentically like that, when I'm able to sort of be really honest about myself, even though it's, you know, it's scary to put yourself out there, that way. But, you know, I always get the most, feedback from caregivers when I'm really honest about, like, how I either screwed up or how much I hated myself when I was doing something or how guilty I felt or, you know what I mean? Or how angry I was. I mean, they're the blogs that I feel the best about.
Yeah. Well, I think you do such an excellent job of being authentic. And I think that's why that resonates with people, because sometimes we don't want to tell people, you know, there's so much shame in our culture. So we pretend, and especially like you said, in the caregiver culture, we're silent and we don't even necessarily even understand we have this role. So when all of a sudden you're feeling all this negative stuff and you don't have any way to vent it, and you read a blog or you see it, it sounds like you send out tweets. Or the message, yes. What was it you said somebody gave you feedback on?
I do a weapon of the day every day.
Ooh, a weapon of the day. Tell us about that for just a moment. What's that?
Yeah, it's a weapon of the day. It's actually whatever I'm struggling with during that day and how I feel we can get out of it. So I can't remember this morning, but, you know, weapon of the day will be empathy, or the weapon of the day will be self-kindness, or the weapon of the day will be... and the ones I love are like, be as kind to yourself as you are to those you care for. Today was just show up.
Just show up. And you've done that. You've done a fantastic job showing up on this show. And we've got just a little bit more we want to cover with you when we get back from this short break. Thanks, Suzanne.
At 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom. Only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You've been listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been having a fantastic conversation with Suzanne White about her business, Caregiver Warrior, but also about her own personal journey caring for her parents and other family members. And one of the things she's done in this journey is create a vehicle for her feelings through her writing. She's got a book coming out. She's got a little ebook that you can download from her website, www.caregiverwarrior.com. And she's got a great blog there that I was skimming last night. And then it sounds, I just learned that you do these weapons of the day. And so it's just a great way for us to tap into your experience and your vision. I'm curious about, we were talking about the weapon of the day and we were talking about your blog in general and your favorite article, but the one that caught my eye and I was like, I want to ask her about that. It was titled, "We Are All Just Walking Each Other Home. Don't miss the chance to talk about it." Would you mind giving us the story behind that post a little bit?
Absolutely. And thank you, because I like that one too. I'm constantly, because I'm not caring for my parents now, but I'm constantly seeing things that trigger me or memories or whatever. And I was walking down the street and I saw, you know, an ambulette. You know, we have them here in New York, the ambulette. So, and a gentleman was being lifted into, he was in a wheelchair and he was being lifted into the ambulette. And the driver, the man, and what I was assuming was his friend or partner or wife or whatever, they were all like chattering, like talking to each other. You know, and I said, oh, my God. And it just brought back so many times. At one point, I had dueling wheelchairs. I called him. I had my mom and dad both in wheelchairs.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I, you know, you do stuff. Yeah. You're like, how do I do that?
Exactly.
But, so, you know, and my mom had her own style, and my dad was a chatterbox. I mean, we were just chatterboxes. And just my dad was such a kind, wonderful, I mean, he just loved everybody. They all loved him. And, you know, we would, and I'm like that too. So we were meeting people and I had so many angels around us. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times people helped us for no reason other than the fact that we just had the kindest, most wonderful angels walking off constantly. I mean, there was always, a bad apple in there, but you know, I'm good with them.
Yep.
I could take care of them.
Yep.
But,
exactly.
You know, it was just wonderful. So I thought, yeah. So I thought, I love that saying that we're all just walking each other home. And I really believe that. And I think that so often we can get our heads down and we're so stressed, you know, like especially in emergency rooms and in crisis, you know, we just forget to look up at that nurse, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
or to look up at that aide or, you know, the security guard
yep.
that's like holding the door for my dueling wheelchairs, you
right.
know, like there's so, you know, there's people there and we're all just trying to do the best we can and walk each other home. And I just want everybody to remember that we all have stories. And so often, you know, you can talk to people and find out about them and then they become invested in you and you become invested in them. And there's caregiving stories there. Everyone is taking care of someone.
Yes, exactly. They should be taking care of themselves, right? Like we've just been talking about. So there's a lot of the messages
exactly.
that can resonate. Exactly. I've not heard.
There's just.
Sorry, go ahead.
No.
Right. There's just so much out there. I've not heard that expression. We are all just walking each other home. Does it come from somewhere?
I believe it's, I should know this, but it's a Zen.
Okay.
It's a Zen or Buddhist.
Got it. Got it. And so it's something you've heard or read and it was resonating with you. And it's this idea. Let me just check in and make sure this is the teacher in me that I understand, that the idea is that because we are all on this planet in this journey of life together, we're really all just walking each other home to whatever home is. And we need to recognize that the people around us are just like us.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
And have wonderful stories and wonderful journeys, you know, and we're on the journey together. So, you know, let's enjoy each other, you know, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. And take care of each other.
Absolutely.
I love that. And that kind of leads it nice into, we like to wrap up each show asking our guests, what are three things that you wish all caregivers knew or that you would like to tell all caregivers?
It's really simple. You can't do it alone.
You should see her face right now, listeners. Yeah. She's looking at us like for that good New York look, like, come on, people. This is basic. You can't do it alone.
You can never do it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
No such thing as a perfect anything, especially a caregiver.
Right.
Right? We all have different styles. We all have different ways. And all at once.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Wonderful words of wisdom. Thank you so much for being with us today. And I encourage all listeners to go to Suzanne's website, caregiverwarrior.com, and pre-order a copy of her book.
It's coming out September 9th, you said?
September 6th.
September 6th. Okay, great. All right. Well, we plan to invite you back after you've hit the talk show circuit.
Yes.
Once the book's out and released. Right. And we'll be like, we knew her back when, and yeah, we'll bring you back on. All right. Thanks so much, Suzanne. You have a great day. We've really enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks, guys.
So, Liza, wow. What was your greatest takeaway from this?
I just love the reoccurring theme of showing up. Is that mm-hmm. how she put it? Or, mm-hmm. you know, just being present.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so easy to for your mind to go from the past to the future, the past to the future,
oh,
and skip over
the present,
the now.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. So yeah, that's how you were reading the just showing up. I mean, of course it is. It's saying just show up to the now, to the present. But it's funny. I don't know that I even caught that because I'm not in the now enough. Do you know what I mean? I'm such a future tripper,
right,
that I'm like, where are we going? What's next? You know, what am I paying attention to? But yeah, showing up does really mean living in the now.
Yeah. How about you?
That story about her mom and the calendar. And, you know, I took care of my mom and we were very close and we are very similar. We got along, although one of the things that she said to me, I mean, I thought we got along, but one of the things she said to me once when I was back visiting as an adult was after we'd had a fight. But I, to me, fights weren't bad. Fights were like real and we were getting true emotions out. In a lot of ways, I was pushing my mom to get out of her conventional 1950s, you know, female mindset. And she would encourage me on that. She's like, I learned so much from you. And I'm really impressed by what you get from the University of Wisconsin and all that kind of stuff. But she said to me, oh my God, we could never live together again. And I was like, what? And she said, oh, we fight so much and you drive me crazy. I could never live with you again. And I was like, oh, ouch. Right.
Yeah.
So there is a piece that had this kind of anger and resentment in our relationship.
Uh-huh.
And I wish I had heard Suzanne's story or read some of her stuff while I was taking care of my mom, because I did sometimes show up to the old mom, not to the new mom, the vulnerable mom, the one who was sick, the one who was dying, essentially.
Yeah.
And it took having a conversation with her doctor, her rheumatologist, I think they were called, because she had COPD. And he's like, Kristen, she doesn't need anti-anxiety medication. She's not trying to be difficult. She can't breathe. Her lungs are working at a 40% capacity. Of course she's scared. Of course she's anxious. Of course she's vulnerable. And it was interesting because the doctor had just lost his mom. And so he said, I'm kind of being more of a peer here than a doctor.
Yeah.
But like, let go of the medical stuff and just be there for her and hold her hand. And oh, I'm getting the goosebumps again. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, of course, of course, of course. This has nothing to do with all of our angst around antidepressants and whether or not there's, you know, mental illness in our family. It's really just about, here is my mom dying and asking for us to just be there and show up.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, and show up. Be present.
Show up. All right. Well, wow.
Before we leave, I just want to let everyone know who we have coming up in the weeks to come, because we have some super awesome guests coming. We have Harriet Redmond from Wisconsin Sib Shops that support siblings of people that have siblings with disabilities. And then we have marriage therapist Robin Schnitzler.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.